discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God has not changed. And that is the life that we have received. He says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything He is, that is why He told Abraham, He said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave Himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God Himself.
Listen to Pastor Oti Boateng as Christ is magnified.
Not even my father can do this for me.
I will worship him forever, because this God is too good.
Hallelujah. Oh, he paid. Tell me about he paid it all. Hebrews 10, verse 9. 10:9. I like this. It's, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for what? For all. He sacrificed his body once and for all. Continue. Verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministry and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. The old time priest, he says the sacrifices could not take away sins. But this man, he's talking about Jesus, but this man Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice forever, sat down on the right hand of God. I don't know about you, but I think this is correct. This is what he did. He sacrificed for sins once, forever. And he sat down on the right hand of God. He sat down. No standing. He seated. No more sacrifices. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26, 27. Look at Hebrews 7. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Verse 27. Who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. He did it once. He offered for himself once. He offered for all of us once and for all. Once and for all. So your sin cannot block you from receiving Jesus from God. You hear what I said? Your sin cannot block you from receiving from God. Your sin cannot block you from receiving from God. You can receive your healing today, right now, no matter what has happened. I know God knows that you have done something wrong, but he brought his son to come and pay for your sin. I don't know why you are still contemplating your sin and making it a big deal in your life and letting it disqualify you from the blessings of God when it has already been paid for. Am I saying you should continue to sin? I'm coming. I'll show you very soon. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24 to 28. Oh, I can't finish preaching the message. There's so much here. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures or the types or the true, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. He's appeared in the presence of God for you and I. For what purpose? Not yet that he should offer himself often. As the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. The old high priest used to enter into the Holy of Holies with the blood of goats and calves. And he did it every year. But this high priest is not like that high priest. This one is different. Different order. He says, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Once put away sacrifice for sin. Once. Next verse, verse 27. And as it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Because he has come to deal with sin already. Let's read the NLT of this verse. NLT. So also Christ died once for all time as a sacrifice. Once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins. Why? Because he dealt with them in his first coming. Not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. What salvation is talking about? He's talking about the salvation of our body. The resurrection. Do you like what I'm telling you? I pray that God opens your eyes to see. You see, until you have heard, there's a question you're supposed to ask about what I'm preaching. If you don't ask that question, it means grace has not been preached to you. The question is in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. And Romans chapter 6, verse 15. And Romans chapter 3, verse 6. It says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Because that's the question. If my sin does not matter, that means that Charlie will go do them. We'll use the blood of Jesus. He says, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? He gives us the answer. Next verse, verse 2. God forbid. That is one of the strongest Greek words. Okay? Showing you how absurd that is. How can you, who are dead to sin, live any longer therein? I thought his salvation has taken you from death and has brought you to life. What are you going to do back there? What are you talking about? Your sin was preventing you from getting close to God. Jesus came to come and die and take away your sin. Everything now you want to go back to. What is wrong with you? You see, it's not wisdom. You may not understand that sin deals with mastery, deals with that. It's not only God you are dealing with, you are dealing with the devil as well. If you play with sin, the wages of sin is always death. The wages of sin is always death. It doesn't change. If you allow sin to be your master, it will lead you to death. It will destroy your life, to kill you. So Paul shows this to us in Romans chapter 6. Do you see? Yeah. People were saying that Paul is saying that we should sin. That's in Romans chapter 3. Verse 8. And not rather as we be slanderously reported. Some people were slandering Paul. As some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come. Then it says, those who talk like that, their damnation is just. Let us do good. Let us do evil so that good may come. They say that's what Paul was preaching. That sin has been taken care of, so we should do whatever we want to do. That's not what we are preaching.
No.
The wages of sin will always be dead. God has freed you from sin so that you can serve him in love. So that you can flow with him in intimacy. So that you can enjoy his blessings. Not so that you can wallow in sin. I hope I've answered you. Let's look at the second definition of grace. There's so much. For instance, God has taken your sin. He says, as far as the east is from the west. Psalm 103. Not north and south. As far as the east is from the west, so has he removed. Can you show it to us? Psalm 103 verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins or transgressions from us. Meaning that, you see, if he has said, as far as the north is from the south, so has he removed our sins, then you'd have met your sins. Because there's a fixed north. There's a north pole and there's a south pole. There's a fixed place. But there's no starting point for the west. And there's no starting point for the east. And there's no starting point for the west. So we don't know where it starts from. We don't know where it ends. You will never meet your sins. I said you will never meet your sins. Oh yes, we are under the blood that speaketh better things, speaks forgiveness. You should be enjoying your forgiveness. That is what they preach, though. That is what they preach, forgiveness of sins, appeases, complete removal and forgiveness of. That's what was preached. Acts chapter 13, let me show you. That's what was preached. That's what Paul preached. That's what Peter preached. Your sins have been forgiven. You should be enjoying yourself in the forgiveness that God has made ready for you. Oh, do you like what I'm sharing with you? Acts chapter 13, verse 38. I'm wondering if I can finish. Can you read it to me? One to go. Men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Because that's what has happened. The forgiveness. We preach the forgiveness of sins. Because that's what has happened. This is Paul. Peter also preached in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 31. Acts 5, 31. Him, he's talking about Jesus. Jesus has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior. For to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Jesus is the one who has come to give forgiveness of sins to us. And he has done it. I said he has done it. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. I'm coming. Ephesians 1 verse 7. In Jesus we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Have you seen it? It's according to the riches of God's grace. God did it. It's God who did it. You can't do anything about it. God did it. It's God that's paid for your sins. Hey. Believe it, brother. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter's first message, he preached the same thing. Acts 2, verse 38. Can you read this one to me? One to go. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Guess what? The word remission is the same word for forgiveness. The Greek word is aphesis. It's the same word for the forgiveness of sins. So Jesus has paid. Jesus has paid fully. 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 Be thanking him. He pays. It's your sin that crucified him. It's your sin that crucified him. Acts 10, 43. Acts 10, 43. It's a convention. Have you learned anything since I started talking? To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive what? Whoever believes in his name shall receive forgiveness of sins. When you believe in his name, you shall receive. Have you believed in his name?
Yes.
What have you received? Are you happy about it? You should be happy about it. Now you are free to serve God. Now you are free to be a servant of God. You are free to serve God. God is not angry with you. He cannot be angry with you. He's not against you. He cannot be. Let me preach the other ones, or else we'll not finish. I feel like I'm not doing justice to the thing. The next point, the next explanation of grace that I want to talk about. I wanted to do six, but it's not going to work. Grace is God's work of making us righteous by faith in Christ Jesus. Grace is God's work of making us righteous by faith in Christ Jesus. Righteous. Righteous. So when he removed our sins, he gave us something. When he gave us forgiveness of sins, he gave us something called righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He has made him to be sin. Who knew no sin? So that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in him. God has made us the righteousness of his righteousness in Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Romans chapter 5 verse 19. Let me explain this to you. Romans chapter 5 verse 19. You see, how many of you believe that Adam's sin affected humanity? How many of you believe it? That Adam's sin. How did you become a sinner? How did you become a sinner? Hello? How did we become sinners? How did humanity become sinners? By Adam, isn't it? One man, his name is Adam. It's not because you stole or did anything. No. You stole because there was a nature in you that caused you to steal. And that nature came as a result of Adam's sin. So in this particular verse, it says, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Who is that one man who disobeyed? Adam. Adam disobeyed, all were made sinners. By the same same way that all were made sinners, one man's obedience. So by the obedience of one man shall many be made righteous. And one man has obeyed. Who is that one man who has obeyed?
Jesus
Christ. Jesus Christ obeyed. And because Jesus Christ obeyed, now we are made righteous. I don't know if you believe it. Yes. It's called federal headship. Adam as a federal head sinned, many were made sinners. Jesus as a federal head obeyed, many are made righteous. It's as simple as ABCD. Look at 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ has once suffered for sins. Have you seen it? Once. It's showing here again. For Christ has once suffered for sins. Not many times. Once suffered for sins. Then it says, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. Jesus, who was the just, he's called the just. Remember, in him was no sin. He did no sin, but he was made sin. Jesus was made sin. Okay?
Yeah.
He took our place of sin. The just one, the righteous one, was made sin. He took our place. God saw it fit for him to take our place of sin. So God sees it fit for us to take his place of righteousness.
Oh, yeah. That's it. That's it.
Do you understand what I just said?
Yeah.
Pastor Mark and Pastor Kofi, please come. Can you stand opposite to each other and face each other? This way, yeah. This is Jesus. This is us. All this is our sin. It's very well. God saw it fit for Jesus to take our place. Please come, and then you go over there. For Jesus, who had done no sin, to take our place. This is the place of righteousness. This is the place of sin. Jesus took our place, the just, the righteous, in the place for the unrighteous, so that the unrighteous would take the place of the righteous. Do you understand? It's as simple as ABCD. It is, you don't do anything. There's nothing you did. Jesus did everything. In the Old Testament, during the Passover, God told them to mark their posts. They should kill a lamb and mark their doorpost. God told them to mark their doorpost, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they marked it up and two sides in the sign, in the shape of the cross. No, be so.
Yeah.
With the blood of the lamb that they had killed. Because of the blood on their doorpost, when the angel of death came, the angel of judgment came, it did not enter their homes. Why? Because of the blood, the judgment did not come on them. It didn't matter who was in there. It had nothing to do with what they were doing in the house. They may have been quarreling in the house. They may have been doing all kinds of things in the house. Made no difference. So long as the blood was on the doorpost, it was okay. The cross of Jesus Christ is what absorbs us from judgment and makes us righteous and fit before God. I don't know what else you want to see. Because one man obeyed, all of us are made righteous. And it is not of works. It cannot be of works. It has nothing to do with what you do or do not do. Now, you can choose to be, all of us are Christians, but you can choose to be a sad Christian or a joyful Christian. Some of the homes had sadness. They were still afraid of death coming to them. Others were rejoicing in the blood that was on the doorpost. Christ, who is our Passover, has been sacrificed. Jesus has sacrificed himself for us to make us right with God. I don't know what you think. He took our place. He took our place of sin so that we can take his place of righteousness. By one man, many became, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By one man's obedience, many are made righteous. It's as simple as that. Clap for Jesus for what he has done. Grace makes it available. Faith makes it real in your life. Grace. I'm showing what grace has made available so that you can receive. Thank you, Lord, for taking my sins. Thank you for making me your righteousness. He made him sin so that we might be made his righteousness. It's as simple as that. Thank you very much. You can take your seats. Let's give them a big round of applause. Romans chapter 4 verse 25 once again. Oh, hallelujah. It says Jesus was delivered on account of our offenses and was raised again on account of our justification. The word for is on account. Because of our sins, he was crucified. And because of our justification or being declared righteous, he was raised from the dead. So the resurrection is actually a proof that we have been declared not guilty. The resurrection is what? It's the proof that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus went to prison for us and came out of prison because he had finished serving a sentence. Now that he has finished serving a sentence, if he's walking around, you say that you have to go to prison again. No, you are no more guilty. You are now, God says you are good enough. God says you are accepted because his son is accepted. His son has sacrificed for you. That's it. That's the goodness of God. Look at the next verse. The next verse is chapter 5, verse 1. He says that TPT, we should read TPT. Verse 25. He says it's what? 25, TPT. Romans 4, 25, TPT. TPT, is it Passion, right? The Passion Translation. Can you read it with me together? I want to go. Have you seen it? And was raised back to life to prove. So the resurrection is proof that we are right with God. This Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. You should be happy. You should be rejoicing. Because proof of our righteousness has come. Proof of our forgiveness is what has come. Next verse, 2 TPT. It's passionate. It's a passion. Next verse is chapter 5, verse 1. So the Bible was not written in chapters and verses. It's a continuum. So the next verse is chapter 5, verse 1. Can you read it to me? One, two, go. Transfers God's righteousness to us. And he now declares us flawless in his eyes. This means we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God. All because of what our Lord Jesus, the anointed one, has done for us. Next verse, TPT. One to go. Our faith guarantees us permanent access into this marvelous kindness that has given us
perfect relationship with God.
What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. And guess what? The word hope here is not, oh, I'm hoping it will happen. No, it's elpis. It means confident expectation of the glory of God. Confident expectation of the goodness of God all the days of your life. Confident expectation of the blessings of God all the days of your life. Confident expectation of the health of God, the healing of God all the days of your life. That's what it means. So every single day, you declare, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you have arrived in the place of favor. You are in the place where God treats you with favor. That's what he's talking about. He says, our faith guarantees us permanent access, not temporal, permanent access into this marvelous kindness. You see, the King James says, into this grace wherein we stand. There's a grace. He has brought us into his favor. It's called favor grounds. You and I, by virtue of our righteousness, you have been brought into favor grounds. Into favor grounds. Now God is taking his time. Listen, God is taking his time to shower grace, favor, niceness, goodness, blessings, health, prosperity, joy, everything you can think about. God is taking his time because now you are on God's favor grounds. That's what it means. Maybe you don't believe it. Let me show you. Hold on. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. Ephesians 2, 7. God, by making us right, his righteousness, we have now come to favor grounds, grace grounds, where God is showering grace upon us. Why? Why? Ephesians 2, verse 7. Let's read TPT, since we are reading TPT. Let's be passionate. Can you read this to me? One to go. we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of grace and kindness which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. Have you seen it? The Greek says we are the trophies of God's grace that he shows throughout the ages that are to come. God, we are in the dispensation of grace. So that's why you need to understand grace. This is what God is doing now. God says he has brought us by virtue of the sacrifice of Jesus into favor grounds where he showers upon us so much grace for the purpose of showing us as his trophies of grace. In the coming ages, God will point to you and say, look at this guy. Look at his life. Look at how he was before. He was a very foolish boy. And I got him saved and brought him into Christ. And when I brought him to Christ, I treated him so well by virtue of the sacrifice of my son. And he enjoyed it. You must make a decision to enjoy it. Some people are not enjoying the grace of God. Some people are still crying that God doesn't like them. Meanwhile, God likes you. Some people are praying for healing when God has dealt with your healing in Christ already. All you need to do is to stretch your hands and take it. Healing is mine. As I'm talking, God is healing. You are being healed, I tell you. Cancer is falling out of your body, I tell you. Healing angels are all over. This is the message that God has planned before time to preach to you. So that you can receive your healing. By tomorrow morning, a business contract will drop on your laps without any merit. What you don't deserve. We are in a place where we get what we don't deserve. So if you feel you don't deserve it, guess what? It is for you. Yes. If you feel your visa is not going to be approved, get ready to be approved because you don't deserve it. If you feel you are not beautiful, you will not get a good husband, a nice husband. Get ready. You are going to get a good husband. If you feel you are not from a rich home, so you may not be rich. Get ready. You will see the prosperity that will be bombarding your life. Why? Because you are now on grace grounds, favor grounds. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, this is so nice. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Ephesians 1, 5. We are on favor grounds. We are on favor grounds. Trophies of God's favor. King James, we can't understand. Hey. Ah. It's nice, oh. You let's read it to him, King James, and then we'll come back. The King James is very simple. Having predestinated, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein in his grace he has made us accepted in the beloved. Guess what? The word accepted is the Greek word charitu, which is from charis. And what do you mean charitu? C-H-A-R-I-T-O-O. Charitu. And it means to be highly favored. It's the same word that is used for Mary when the angel appeared to her. The same word. When the angel appeared to Mary and said, you are highly favored amongst women. Same word. We are the highly favored of God because we are in Christ. What it means is to encompass you with favor. To bombard you with favor. To mesmerize you with favor. To embarrass you with favor. Unmerited favor you don't deserve. What you don't deserve is what you get. Money you don't deserve is what is coming for you. A house you don't deserve is what is coming for you. A car you don't deserve is what is coming for you. A ministry you don't deserve is what is coming to you. Do you think I deserve to be where I am? I don't deserve to be where I am at all. I know myself. God knows me. The devil also knows. We all know me. I'm not supposed to be here. But because I know I don't deserve it, that's why I'm here. Yes. I'm on favor grounds. I said I'm on favor grounds. I'm on favor grounds. I will never be sad in my life. Psalm 5 verse 12. He says the same things in Psalm 5 verse 12. Let's look at the Psalm 5 verse 12. The old reveals the new, I tell you. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor will thou compass him as with a shield. Have you seen it? The Lord will bless the righteous. Who is the righteous? Are you the righteousness of God? He says he will compass you with favor. With favor. With favor. The blessings is upon the head of the righteous. Yeah. Proverbs 10:6. Look at this. Rick, can you read to me? Want to go? Blessings are upon the head of the righteous. Are you the righteous?
Yes.
Blessings. Say blessings day my head top. Yes. See, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'll never be cursed in my life. Why? Because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, it is righteousness apart from works. It has none. That's the emphasis. It's apart from works. God says you are qualified to stand before him. You are flawless.
Oh, yes.
God says you are flawless.
I'm flawless.
Oh, yes. Flawless. By grace. Sit down, let me show you some more. Is it working? Hallelujah. Agree with God, though. Tell me about agree with God.
Agree with God.
Oh. It is righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ, not of works of the law. It's not of works of the law. There's nothing you can do to be made righteous. There's no work you can do to be made righteous. It's a free gift. It's called the gift of righteousness. God gives it to you as a gift because of what Jesus has done. And you should just be happy about it. And declare your righteousness every single day. Remember, he says in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, that by one man's disobedience, by one man's offense, death reigned by that one man. Then it says, how much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So the gift of righteousness is very important. You need to be established in the fact that you are the righteousness of God. Brothers and sisters, our salvation came as a result of us believing in Jesus Christ. When we believe in Jesus Christ, righteousness was imparted to us as a gift. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Look at Romans 10, 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This is our salvation. Then it says, for with the heart man believeth unto something called righteousness. Have you seen it? Man believeth unto what?
Righteousness.
That's the first thing. This is our salvation. This is how we got born again. We believed with our heart unto righteousness. And then with our mouth, confession was made unto salvation. The word salvation here is soteria. The way we came in is the same way we continue. That's what I'm preaching about. We came in by believing to be made righteous. And then we spoke and then we got saved. That is how you enjoy the benefits of salvation. The benefits of health, of blessings, of deliverance, of prosperity, of healing, of peace of mind, of everything is the same way. The same way. In other words, some of us are confessing and are not seeing much because we are not established in righteousness. We are not established in righteousness because in our minds, our righteousness depends on our works. This is the problem. This is why you are not seeing the healing. This is why you are not seeing the prosperity in your life. This is why some things may not be happening, because you are not established in the consciousness of the fact that you are truly the righteousness of God apart from works, without works. What did our father Abraham discover? Abraham discovered righteousness by faith apart from works. That's what he discovered. It. Romans chapter 4, verse 1, all the way to verse 8. Let me read it to you so that you just see it. Can we read TPT? We need to establish ourselves in this particular thing by declaring it, I'm the righteousness of God. The way to establish yourself in it is to know it, believe it, and keep declaring it. No matter what is going on, when you are masturbating, say that you are the righteousness of God. You'll be surprised that with time you can't masturbate again. When you are lying, you are lying. You have a lying tongue. The way to cure your lying tongue is to establish yourself in righteousness. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The Bible said we should confess our righteousness. That's what the Bible said we should do. I don't know which one should to do first. I just mentioned something else. Can I show you this one? We must keep confessing our righteousness. We must keep confessing our righteousness. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart. That's in Romans chapter 10. The righteousness of faith speaketh. So you must keep speaking the righteousness of God, that you are the righteousness of God. You see? But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh, not the righteousness of the law. The righteousness of the law doeth. That's above. Go back to verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law. The righteousness which is of the law is described by Moses this way, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. The righteousness of the law emphasizes doing. But the righteousness which is by faith in Jesus Christ emphasizes speaking. Am I making sense to you? So you must declare continuous, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. No matter what is going on. No matter what is happening, very soon you will fall into something and you will not take 5 years to recover. It will be shorter. Before you fall into that thing, as you are declaring the righteousness of God, you will not even fall into it. Yeah, that's what happens. I don't know if I'm helping you. Let me show you. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Is believers conventional? Am I giving you too many scriptures? Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Can you read it to me? And things under the earth. And every that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Have you seen it? Look at this verse. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, this verse is from Isaiah chapter 45. Verse 22 and 23 and 24. Look at Isaiah 45. Look unto me, verse 22. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there's none else. This is our salvation, right? Look unto me and be saved, all the nations of the earth. For I am God and there's none else. Verse 23. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall swear. It's not the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, what shall every knee bow to and every tongue swear or every tongue confess to? Next verse. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. The one in the New Testament, Paul said, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord is equal to Christ is my righteousness. So what we confess in the New Testament is Christ our righteousness. Am I making sense or I'm not making sense to you? That is what you confess to be born again. And that is what you keep. That you confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord. And you became born again. You became righteous. Isn't it? So you continue confessing that to win victories on every side of your life. You continue confessing, Christ is my righteousness. Jesus is my righteousness. Christ is my righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, it will deliver you from all your problems. All your righteousness and strength will come to you. Righteousness, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall all men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. Look at the next verse. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be declared righteous and shall glory. Have you seen it? So declaring Christ as your righteousness is the key to overcoming sin, overcoming poverty. He says, for by the offense of one, death reigned, isn't it? Or you know me so. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For by one man, Romans 5:17, please. For by one man's offense, death reigned by that one man. Death ruled and reigned, and death has children. Sickness is one of death's children. Poverty is one of death's children. Fear is one of death's children. Eh? Failure, accident, every bad thing you can think about are the children of death. Those are the children of death. The word to king says death reign. Death had the reign over all men. Whether you liked it or not, any of these things could affect you because of our place where we were. We were in sin. So the curse was on everybody. And the curse had two things in it, two very big things in it. Poverty. There were 52 curses. 35 were curses along the lines of poverty. And the rest were curses along the lines of sickness. Sickness, cancer is one of them. Boils, wicked sicknesses are all inside. By virtue of Christ's work, we have been taken away from the curse. Jesus has carried the curse. Yeah. Eh? Yeah. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us. He has bought us from the curse of the law. He has paid so that we don't have any curse anymore. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. For what purpose? So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. So because Jesus took the curse, now the blessings can come on you. What is the blessing? The blessing is prosperity. The blessing is health. The blessing is peace. The blessing is joy. The blessing is favor. The blessing is having the ability to serve God with joy. That's the blessing of God. To come before God with boldness. Now, the way to enjoy practically, to enjoy the blessing practically, is to keep confessing your righteousness. The key is in confessing your righteousness. Because self-righteousness does something. Go back to Romans chapter 10. Self-righteousness does two things. It's a buffet. Tell me about it's a buffet. Take what you can receive and just move on. Okay? It's not everything you may be able to take today, but take what you can today. Then you keep listening to the message. You will get more. Maybe you can take saffron rice and take whatever, salad and what. Enjoy that today. But tomorrow, come for the buffet again. You will see more. Because I'm sharing on a lot of things. And I've not done even half of what I'm supposed to preach to you. No, I've not done half. I've not done half. Now, listen. God, through Paul, says something. Paul said that I have a challenge with my countrymen, Israel. Okay, that's from verse 1. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. I have a challenge with them. But before we read this, let's go to Romans 9. Let's go to chapter 9. Let's read from verse 30 so we can understand it. Let's read TPT so it's easier to understand. Can we read it together? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Ask your neighbor, are you ready?
Yeah.
Ask the neighbor behind you, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, if you are, then let's read it together. Those downstairs, if you are ready, give me a shout. Beautiful. You guys say a lot. Wow. Okay, so let's read it together. One to go. So then, what does all this mean? Here's the irony. The non-Jewish people who weren't even pursuing righteousness were the ones who seized it. A perfect righteousness that is transferred by faith. Continue. Verse 31. Yet Israel, even though pursuing a legal righteousness, did not attain to it. Next verse. And why was that? Because they did not pursue the path of faith, but insisted on pursuing righteousness by works, as if it could be seized another way. They were offended by the means of obtaining it and stumbled over the stumbling stone. What is the stumbling stone? Christ, our righteousness. Next verse. Just as it is written, be careful, I am setting in Zion a stone that will cause people to stumble, a rock of offense that will make them fall. But believers in him will not experience shame. Have you seen it? The stone of offense is Christ our righteousness. They could not receive Christ as their righteousness. They rejected Christ. So Christ our righteousness became a stumbling stone for them because they were seeking their own righteousness by the works of the law. Next verse. The next verse is chapter 10, verse 1, I believe, right? Yeah. Chapter 10, verse 1. That's the next verse. So we are just continuing. So let's read it together. One to go. My beloved brothers and sisters, the passionate desire of my heart and constant prayer to God is for my fellow Israelites to experience salvation. For I know that although they are deeply devoted to God, they are unenlightened. And since they've ignored the righteousness that God gives, wanting instead to be accepted to God because of their own works, they refuse to submit to God's faith righteousness. Next verse. For the right, and because of him, God has transferred his perfect righteousness to all who believe. Have you believed? Then God has transferred his perfect righteousness to you because you have believed in Jesus Christ. It's amazing. It's very clear. Yes, this is it. This is it. The gospel is a revelation of the righteousness of God. That's the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto everyone that believeth. For therein, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For in the gospel is the revelation of the righteousness of God. Am I saying it right? For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by. So you can't preach the gospel without talking about the righteousness of God. Because the gospel is the revelation of the righteousness which is of God, which comes to you free of charge by your faith in Jesus Christ. By believing in Jesus Christ, that righteousness is given to you. And the righteousness of God is the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham, the blessing that Abraham got is the blessing of being made not guilty before God. He became the friend of God and enjoyed all the blessings of God. From Abraham, sin was in the world before the law, but sin was not imputed because there was no law. So Abraham did not have sin being imputed to him because he was the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And he enjoyed. Abraham lied though. You know Abraham lied. Yeah. He lied twice. He did all kinds of things that was not right. But he did not get any judgment. Why? Because he was the righteousness of God. That is what Abraham discovered. It's called the discovery of Abraham. Abraham discovered the righteousness of God. Because God preached Christ to Abraham before Christ came. When God told Abraham to look up into the skies and see if he could number the stars. He was not talking about numbering the stars one by one. He was talking about telling the story of the stars, which was the story concerning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Even the stars has been designed by God to tell the story of our salvation. Have you heard of the star called Virgo? Have you heard of the star called Virgo? Those of you who are into those things, it's not correct. Don't be into it. But there's a star called Virgo. It means virgin. The virgin shall conceive and give birth to the lion. There's a star called Leo, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And then it goes like that, and it tells the story of our salvation. So God used that to tell the story of our salvation to Abraham. And then Abraham believed in God. And because he believed in God's testimony about his son, Jesus Christ, God imputed to him righteousness. Yes. I want to put it together nicely. I don't know if I'm helping you. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. TPT. Let's read it. We don't want to do any other thing. Can we read this together? I said it's a buffet, so whichever one you can take, it's fine. Can you read it together? One to go. Listen, the Lord is healing some people right now. As I'm talking, the Lord is healing some people. I tell you, your healing. Take your healings, yours. Start checking your body. Eh? Some things are falling out of your body. I tell you, healing has come to you right now. You are qualified for healing. You are qualified for it. If you can't walk, you can walk today. You can walk. Start practicing now. Let me use Abraham as an... Let's read it together. I want to go. Let me use Abraham as an example. It is clear that, humanly speaking, he was the founder of Judaism. What was his experience of being made right with God? What was his experience? Next verse. Was it by his good works of keeping the law? No. For it was by the things he would... But no one boasts before God. Have you seen it? Next verse. Listen to what the scripture says. Because Abraham believed God's word, his faith transfers God's righteousness into his account. He believed God's words concerning his son. Yes. Therefore, his faith was transferred. His faith transferred God's righteousness into his account. Continue on verse 4. Want to go? When people work, they earn wages. It can't be considered a free gift because they earned it. But no one earns God's righteousness. It can only be transferred when no on our own works, but believe in the one who powerfully declares the ungodly to be righteous in his eyes. It is faith that transfers God's righteousness into your account. Period. Tell me about period. Period. Is it okay for you now? Why am I still talking about this thing? Because this is the reason why a lot of us can receive from God. This is the reason. Because we feel we are not qualified before God. Because of one thing or the other that we did or did not do. Those who are into doing the right things feel that they've not read their Bible much. They've not prayed much. They've not done a lot of things much. So they've not fasted much. So they can't even preach to someone. I can't share the word of God because I don't feel right. Why don't you feel right? Because I have not done what I'm supposed to do this week. I prayed only 1 hour instead of 5 hours. Whether you pray 5 hours or pray 1 hour, listen, that does not affect your qualification before God. God says you are qualified. Therefore, you can work for him and work with him. Are you in the church or you have gone home? Now, the problem with thinking that your works is what qualifies you before God is very dangerous. That's why I'm still talking. Let me show you how dangerous it is. To think that your righteousness can be attained by works. If you think that you are accepted before God because of your works, you are in trouble. Galatians 2, verse 21. Let's read it together. One to go. Something minor or peripheral. For if keeping the law could release God's righteousness to us, the anointed one would have died for nothing. King James, it's not saying it powerfully enough. King James. Can we read this together? One to go. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead. Have you seen it? If you think that righteousness comes by doing things, performance, then Christ died in vain. Then what you are doing is that you are frustrating the grace of God in your life. Even when God wants to shower favor on you, it can't happen because you think that your works is what causes him to shower good things on you. You can't. I tell you. It's almost as though Christ didn't die. And that is what self-righteousness says. Self-righteousness says that who shall bring Christ from the dead? And who shall ascend into the heavens? That's what self-righteousness does. It questions the death of Christ and what it means. And it questions the ascension of Christ and what it means. Yes. That's what self-righteousness does. What you replace your works with what Christ did. That is why Galatians chapter 5 verse 4. Look at Galatians 5 verse 4. Look at Galatians 5 verse 4. It says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are falling from grace. So Christians fall from grace and frustrate the grace of God when they think that their works is what qualifies them before God. when they think that is their work that makes God bless them. Why is this happening in your life? Oh, it's because I fasted, because I did this. We always say it. What we are doing is that we are frustrating the... Why are miracle signs and wonders happening around you? Oh, I fast for 30 days. I would say you shouldn't fast for 30 days. Fast for 30 days, but that is not the reason why the blessings are happening in your life. The blessings are happening in your life because Jesus paid for it. Your fasting only positioned you. You. A fasting was for you. You needed the fasting to position you in your mind for what grace has already made available to show forth in your life. That's all. But your fasting is not, it's not what procured it. Your fasting is not what moved God to give you that blessing. It is Jesus' work that moved God to do what he did. I do not frustrate the grace of God. I refuse to fall from grace.
I refuse to fall from grace.
Christ has become of no effect unto you. Even when the benefits of Christ cannot work in your life. The goodness of God. So you see Christians who are frustrated. They are struggling. They want to be healed. They are not being healed. When they come and talk to you and say that, oh, I've been praying for a long time. I've been fasting. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. And I've done everything, but I've not seen my healing. You just showed me why you have not received your healing. Because you think that all those things is what to procure your healing. Works. Works. Our righteousness is by our faith in Jesus Christ. That's all. So you celebrate Jesus for what he has done for you. And declare that because I'm the righteousness of God, I am now in favor grounds. And hence favor is coming to me. Every good and perfect gift from God is coming to me. Let me show you four things that the grace of God does for you. And then I'll close. I'm showing you four things that the grace of God does for you, and I'll close. Number one, the grace of God procures or brings you true humility. The grace of God, understanding the grace of God properly, brings you true humility. True humility. I cannot count anything happening in our ministry to what I have done. There's nothing. I've not done much. I've not fasted much. I've not prayed much. Have you fasted much? I have not fasted much. I have not prayed much. I've not done any of those things. I believe I'm a success in ministry and still succeeding in ministry because of Jesus' sacrifice for me and because of what he has done. He is the one who died for the flock. He is the one who sacrificed his blood for them. And he has called me to be a steward. That's all. And he is the one who is working through me to do what I'm doing. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace which was upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than them all. Yet not I, the grace of God that was with me. So the grace of God made him labor. The grace of God made him what he was. Not because he was some champion. Just because of the grace of God. So, understanding the grace of God brings you true humility. Pride is the number one first sin of the world. The Corinthian church had a lot of sin inside, but Paul was very lenient with them. When he came to the Galatian church, he blasted them left, right, center. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Galatians 3 verse 1. That you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. He's telling them, listen, I showed you all that Jesus did for us on the cross and what his cross meant for all of us. I showed you everything and you saw it so vividly. Do you have T for T? T for T. There's a translation called T for T. Translation for translators. It's a version. Translation for translators. Do you have it? If you don't have it, we can read another thing. But NLT. NLT is fine. Let's read NLT. He said, Charlie, you guys, I explained it to you so much. How come now you are trying to work miracles by your works? And not by the Spirit, which is the Spirit of the Spirit that ministers righteousness. There's the ministration of the Spirit, which is the ministration of righteousness. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The ministration of the Spirit is equal to righteousness. Let me show it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's read verse 8. Let's not read too much. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Go back to verse 7. He spoke about the ministration of the law, which is works. But if the ministration of death, he calls it the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not satisfactorily behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how much more shall the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? There's the ministration of the Spirit, which is higher in glory, brings more glory than the ministration of the law. Next verse. Then it says, for if the ministration of condemnation be glory, that's the ministration of the law, if it brought glory so that they could not see Moses' face, how much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory? So the ministration of the Spirit is actually the ministration of righteousness. The Spirit does not minister without bringing a consciousness to you of your righteousness. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? So Paul was offended at the Galatian church. You people, I preach to you righteousness. I preach to you how that everything is based on what Jesus did on the cross. NLT, Galatians 3:1, NLT. Everything. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus' death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. The meaning, that's what I'm preaching now. The meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Next verse. Then he says, let me ask you this question. This one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believe the message you heard about Christ. That's what happened. Next verse. How foolish can you be? After starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human efforts? Next verse. Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. So miracles, signs, and wonders happens in our ministry because of what Christ did. And our faith in what he did, nothing else. It's not because you were a super power man of God. No, it's because of what he did. You cannot, sometimes healings happen that we don't even know about. You are praying weakness and then the healing happens. You don't feel qualified, the healing happens. It's because of the work of the Lord. So appreciating what Jesus has done on the cross, looking at the cross, works humility in your heart. True humility. When you see the things happening around you, you'll be humble. You will know clearly it's not your effort. And guess what? Humility is what attracts more grace. Humility attracts what? More grace. God giveth grace to the humble. And guess what makes you humble? When you look at what our Lord did on the cross, and you see how what he did is what's making everything happen around you, you will know that it is not of your works. It's not because of what you think you are. Paul says, I labor more abundantly than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. It will make you humble. It will work true humility in you. True humility in you. Which will cause you to attract more of God's favor. More of God's unmerited grace. More of the happenings of miracles, signs, and wonders around your life. Are you seeing what grace does for you? Grace produces true humility in you. Number two, grace produces intimacy with God. True intimacy with God is produced as a result of being established in the grace of God. If you know that God likes you, you see, your relationship with God is dependent on your knowledge of him. And your knowledge of him is what causes you to live the kind of life you live. Your quality of life is dependent on your knowledge of God. If you know that God does not hate you and God likes you, if you know that God has forgiven you and has brought you in close to him, then relating with him will be very easy. You can have intimacy with him. You can enjoy intimacy with him. Therefore, you can enjoy the presence of God. And in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So true intimacy is born out of our deep understanding of grace. You see, he that loveth much, He that is forgiven much, loveth much. Your intimacy is as a result of your knowledge of how much you have been forgiven. Does it make sense to you? Or it doesn't make sense to you? So true intimacy is born out of a high knowledge of the grace of God. Philippians 3, 9 and 10. Oh, yes. It says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Is that faith, righteousness by faith is showing up everywhere. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Righteousness by faith. He says, I want to be found with him, not having my own righteousness, but having the righteousness of God, which is by faith. So that I may know him. Righteousness by faith is the foundation for knowing him. Because you can't be around him with your works. If you're around with your works, you can't fellowship with him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful. By whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is by God that we are called into fellowship with the Son. Not by our works. It is by his work that we are called into fellowship. So you enjoy true fellowship with him when you know how much he has sacrificed for you. Please, am I making sense or I'm not making sense? The third thing is that grace, as being established in the grace of God, okay, produces genuine love from you. Genuine love for God. Genuine love from God, of God from you, is generated as you receive his love. Let me say it well. Genuine love of God is born from in your heart. Genuine love of God is born from your heart. You remember, I was talking about it. 1 John 4, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. We can only love him because of our understanding of how much he has loved us. His love for us is his grace for us. The more you understand his love for you, the more you walk in love towards him. And Jesus said that if you love me, you will do two things. John chapter 14, verse 21. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Have you seen it? And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. So intimacy is born right there. If you love me, he says, I'll be intimate with you. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him. If a man love me, I will love him, and will come to him, and make our abode with him. We will have intimacy with him. He will have the richest measure of our presence. But that is born out of your understanding of his love for you. You cannot love him if you don't understand how much he has loved you, which is his grace. His love for you is his grace for you. Please, you understand. And because you love me, you will keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. He says, love your neighbor, even as I have loved you. So you love your neighbor because you understand his love for you. You forgive your neighbor because you understand how much he has forgiven you. You go to church because you understand that it is the church that is the pillar and the ground of truth. Without going to church, you will not understand the truth, the realities of God. You understand that tithing is very important because tithing is the declaration of the fact that Jesus is alive. Is alive forever. You partake of the communion because you know that communion is the celebration of his death and how he has forgiven us and how he broke his body for us. You will know. All those things are found in your love for him, which is found in your understanding of his love for you. It leads you to love him back by keeping his commandments. Why are you not fornicating? I'm not fornicating because Jesus' commandment says not to fornicate. And because I love him, I keep his commandment. I keep his commandment because I love him. I don't keep his commandment because I'm trying to tick a box. I'm keeping his commandments because I love him. The love of God constrains us. The love of Christ constrains us. I'm not serving God because I have to tick a box. I'm serving God because of my understanding of how much he has sacrificed for me. If he has sacrificed for me, then I also sacrifice for him. I'll go to any extent for him, for his gospel to get to the next person. And that's the second aspect. John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they are dying, with Jesus. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than this? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. Jesus said, if you love me, then feed my lambs. If you love the Lord, you will be a shepherd. If you love the Lord, you'll be what?
A shepherd.
If you love the Lord, you'll be what?
A shepherd.
You will be a shepherd. You will serve him. You will feed his sheep. You will feed his lambs. Feeding his sheep and feeding his lambs is born out of love for him. Because of your understanding of how much he has loved you. It is a response. Shepherding is a response to the love of Christ. Yes. Acts chapter 20 verse 28. Take heed unto yourself and over the flock and to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. To feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. You understand that he purchased the church with his own blood. So you will not feed them rubber. You feed them the right grass. You feed them the right thing. You feed them what they need to have to get close to their Lord. You do all that. You go for visitation, evangelism, all the things you are doing because of how much you love him. Which is a response of his love for you. Are you seeing it? The fourth and last thing, is that understanding grace or establishing yourself in the grace of God produces true faith in your life. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. This is a very important point. I think you should hear it. Remember, grace through faith. And the faith is from him. Can you read this for me? One, two, go. This is the key to real faith. This is the key to what?
Real faith.
Most of the time, we look at ourselves. Whether we are strong in faith or not. This will make you strong in faith. Knowing that Jesus, who is the highest of God's gift, was not spared when he came to you. God did not spare Jesus Christ. He gave Jesus Christ to you. If he gave Jesus Christ to you, why will he withhold healing from you? If he withholds healing from you, then it means that healing is more expensive than his son, Jesus. Healing cannot be more expensive than Jesus Christ. If he gave you Jesus Christ, then healing is not a problem. The key to receiving healing is to understand that he loved you so much, he gave you his son. Therefore, healing is not a problem. Receive your healing now in Jesus' name. If prosperity is a big deal for God to give to you, then it means that he has elevated prosperity above his son. If he spared not his son, how shall he not with his son also freely give you all things? The key to increased faith and great faith is understanding how much he has loved you, how much he has given you his son. If he gave you his son, if he did not spare his son, what is prosperity? What is church growth? What is church growth? What is the anointing? The anointing is passing. What is passing exams? The anointing is his son. He gave you the anointing. That's his son. What is what? Every other thing you can think about is not as expensive as his son. Money for building a church is coming. He's giving it to you. He has given it to you. What is your problem? He spared not his son. What is a car? What are children? What is a wife? What is a husband? What is traveling? What is a visa? A visa is no more expensive than Jesus. If he spared not his son, he who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with his son, with knowledge of his son, freely and graciously give us all other things? All things are mine. So I'll not be worried. He gave me his son. Healing is not a problem. Rise up and thank God for what you are sharing. Glory!
God bless you for listening. We pray that the word of God will be rooted and grounded in your heart as you give attention to the word. Kindly follow Pastor T and Love Economy Church on all social networks for more of God's word. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pastor T podcast. Simply search for Pastor T on any podcast app. Plug in and enjoy God's word. Visit our website at loveeconomychurch.org for more information. God bless.